First takeout, we go to Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and of course, the Takeaway's major history maniac buff. Todd Zwillick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John.
So you got to love this moment. Barack Obama flying to New York City. He's going to be in the very same hall that Abraham Lincoln began his presidential campaign, the Cooper Union, talking about financial regulation and the bill that's now before the Senate. This hall gives him good luck, I think, don't you think?
Well, the very same hall where Barack Obama came to, in many ways, launch his presidential campaign, at least outside of the Illinois part where he really did it back in Springfield.
In Springfield, also an Abraham Lincoln venue, that's for sure.
Right, and all of the Lincoln ties abounded there, and Barack Obama was never shy about tying himself to the Lincoln identity. But you're right, the president flies up to New York this morning to give this speech with many Wall Street executives planning to be in attendance. And the White House has given some tips on what the president's going to do here, fight back against some of the attacks on the bill that have come from the other side and that have come from Wall Street, that it perpetuates bailouts, that it's more for Wall Street than for Main Street, et cetera. But also the White House has given some tips actually to the Times this morning on the specific bar that the president will set for a bill that he's willing to sign. Many of this stuff is already in the bill because his Democrats have already put it in there, but they want to make sure that the notion of too big to fail is ended, that firms can't become so big that they represent a risk to the broader economy, strong consumer protections, some tough regulations on complicated financial instruments, aka derivatives, as you mentioned.
He's actually going to say the D word in his speech.
The D word, derivative. Yeah, well, that might be in some of the excerpts. So the president is setting the bar for what he'll sign as this bill looks like it's headed to the floor next week for an amendment process. So putting the Senate on notice about what they need to do in his eyes.
And Austin Goolsbee, member of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, actually spoke about this
yesterday.
He's going to basically be talking about, we're coming to the final chapter of this. We've been debating this thing for more than 2 years, and it's time to bring this to a close.
And down on Capitol Hill, there's a remarkable consensus, it seems bipartisan, to get this thing done.
Well, there is now, and everybody, as we mentioned earlier in this week, John, everybody seems to have come back to the table after some really harsh attacks, even at the beginning of this week. And it's really interesting. Basically, what we've learned from some of the Republican rank and file in the Senate is that they informed their leadership that even though there were problems with this bill, that they could not be expected to stick with holding up a filibuster for very long. And once that happens, the leadership realizes they have to come back to the table and speak to Democrats because they're not going to be able to block it forever. So now everybody's playing a little bit nicer, and that's good for bipartisanship. It looks like a bill could be headed to the floor as early as next week and take him a week or two to pass it. I don't know that it'll pass, but getting it on the floor and debating it is what they're there for.
Big day for Nancy Pelosi, but also kind of a high-pressure day where the press corps gets upstaged by, who is it?
This is Take Your Daughters and Sons to Work Day on Capitol Hill, and journalists get to take their kids to the weekly Pelosi press conference, and the kids get to ask the questions. I think Ajax Hockenberry might be a little young for this one.
I think he is.
Zoe and Regan could come. Sometimes the questions are really tough. Sometimes they're tough coming from the kids.
And, Pelosi kind of likes this.
Oh, she loves it. Nancy Pelosi, I'll tell you one thing that I think she would agree with. There's nothing she loves more than being surrounded by a bunch of cute kids. Now, I got to tell you, last year, there were some tough questions. One little girl piped up and said, Mrs. Pelosi, why is the Anacostia River so dirty, and why haven't you cleaned it up like you said you would?
There you go.
So they tossed some tough ones at the speaker. I hope there's some tough ones today.
All right, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
Sure thing.
Our next takeout is all about you and what has you talking. And one thing you're talking about is Goldman Sachs. We talked to Louise Story from the New York Times yesterday. The company is posting huge profits in the billions, but they're also telling people they lost money on the deals that they're now being charged for by the SEC.
You're right about Goldman Sachs. If I rob a bank of $500 and then on my way home I total my car, which cost me $1,000, so I have a net loss, that still leaves me a criminal.
That's perfect logic.
That's great.
Do you have your takes at 8778 my take?
It probably works for the SEC. We also discussed haggling on yesterday's program.
Wait a minute. We're supposed to haggle.
No, I've got to get...
What do you mean, no?
I haven't got time.
Well, give it back then.
Haggling, whatever you call it. Monty Python may call it haggling, but personal finance expert Beth Koenigliner says it's negotiating, and everyone should aspire to making a deal in our DIY bailout series. And if you're looking for more advice on how to do that, just ask a Takeaway listener.
My name is Jeff. I live in Coral Springs, Florida. Haggling is great, especially when you can beat down some big corporation on hotel stays or phone charges. That's my personal favorite. I hit up Ma Bell every 6 months or so to try and knock them down on rates. But I'm a solo corporate copywriter, and I hate when a prospective client tries to beat me down on my rates, and I'll remind them of the value they get when hiring a solo professional. If you want the satisfaction of squeezing some vendor, I'll just tell them to take it elsewhere.
Oh, we got to get that guy on the show. Jeff from Coral Springs, Florida. Yeah, watch for him on future programs. You can get more tips on wheeling and dealing by heading to our site, thetakeaway.org, and checking out the DIY Bailout series.
We have a lot for you to weigh in on today because we're talking about the budget crises at public schools and how hundreds of thousands of teachers may be losing their jobs come June. We started this conversation on our website and Facebook page yesterday. What happens when the schools in your area face a budget crisis? Marco posted to the Facebook page, "My son was awarded second place in last year's Detroit Science Fair. The award ceremony was supposed to be held at the Detroit Library. It was canceled because of budget cuts. My son was bummed. He placed second again this year. Now he has no expectations."
Listen to this. "Academics are key, right?" A listener writes, "I always thought so, but after a few years of faculty, staff, and budget cuts, our school voted to completely eliminate all athletic and extracurricular arts programs.
Ugh.
I'd never agree that sports and arts trump academics, but this blow is instantly visible and damaging to my community's brand equity. In terms of its attractiveness to incoming families, people view the school system's SAT scores, but if a formerly strong athletics program is suddenly no longer, that status is swiftly pasted over the top of everything else. I could hear our property values circling the drain and the town's economy quickly behind it." That's Lynn in Mansfield, Massachusetts.
Wow.
You can keep the comments coming by calling us at 8778-MYTAKE or leave a message at the website, thetakeaway.org. Coming up, Google's showdown with governments across the world. It's a global standoff that has implications for the 21st century.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.